As a pastor and a dad, Bob Lapine's heart breaks for women who have suffered abuse.
I believe Jesus is deeply sorry for your pain as well. It's true he could have stopped it and he didn't, and I can't tell you why he didn't. No one can, but I can tell you he gave his life to fix it.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth, author of Lies Women Believe, for January 23rd, 2019.
Well, over the past year or so, the Me Too movement has brought to light how many women have dealt with the pain of sexual abuse. As we prepared for the True Woman 18 conference, we felt it was really important to address this huge need. The theme of that event was the truth that sets us free. And we wanted to help women know how they could be set free from the pain of their past. We also wanted women to know how they could be set free from sexual sin that they might have been involved in. So we brought together a panel of speakers at True Woman 18 and asked them to talk about this subject. You're about to hear parts of their conversation. We'll hear from Mary Cassian, Jackie Hill Perry, Dana Gresh, and Bob Lapine. Now, if you have younger listeners with you, know that we're going to cover some grown-up topics, so you might want to get them busy doing something else for the next few minutes here. Now, let's listen to this conversation.
Heavenly Father, you are good. You are good. And you love us. You're the God who sees. You see and you know everything about us. You've seen our hurts, our heartaches, our sin, our loneliness, our desires, the way we've tried to satisfy the ache and the longing, the ways that we've tried to satisfy that in ways that you say are not legitimate. You've seen that. You've also seen the ways that we've been sinned against in quiet corners, in the darkness, ugliness that we can barely look at. You see and you know. And you are in this place, Holy Spirit, to speak life to all the women who were quivering on the ground, feeling broken, feeling vulnerable, feeling shame, feeling guilt. To lift them up, heal them, and say, I don't condemn you, girl.
Yeah.
I don't condemn you. There's no condemnation for those who love Jesus. So, Father, I just pray whatever this has stirred in women's hearts, I pray that you will right now be present to bring comfort, to bring healing, to bring hope, and to show them the next step that they need to take in order to walk into freedom. Because the truth sets us free. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
I wrote down some things that you said that I thought maybe we could unpack. One of them is gender is God's idea. Mm-hmm. Now, that has more weight and authority knowing your testimony mm-hmm. of having struggled with that. So how bad was it for you?
I mean, when I was 4, 5, I just felt like I would have preferred to be a boy. And so I tried in many ways to project masculinity. So when I would use the bathroom, I would stand up or try to stand up instead of sitting down. When I would take a bath, I would wrap the towel over my waist instead of around my chest because that's what I saw men do. And so I just think I was confused and in many ways. But this is early 90s, and so that wasn't in the media. I didn't have a name for it to be able to take a hold of it and say, oh, this is what I should do for that, you know? Mm-hmm.
What was the turning point for you?
I think my conversion was the beginning of the turning. I don't think that my conversion changed how I saw myself, but I think discipleship changed how I saw myself. I think as I began to walk with older women who were able to affirm who I was as a woman and take me through the scriptures, I think when I started to recognize that my womanness was on purpose and that it was intentional and that it was glorifying and that God did it because he was wiser than me, that set me free from a whole lot where I recognized that, no, this body is my own, but this body is his and it's meant for him. And so I think now having daughters, I'm grateful that God would give me a body that is not only my own, but able to house somebody else and be able to raise up other women who would be able to believe that they are who God says that they are.
Yeah. Mary, you have really been a leader in helping women understand the theology of gender. As you hear what Jackie said and just shared, what's your core thought for women out there who are either struggling or they're helping someone who's struggling?
I just love how Jackie unpacked it for us this morning mm-hmm. in saying we need to go back to the Word. We need to go back to the idea that gender and sexuality ultimately is not about us, but about bringing glory to God, that He created it, it was His idea, and that He knows best how it functions, and then to trust Him in that. Yeah.
Mm. Another topic you brought up, you did some flybys that could have been entire messages. Mm-hmm. You said there are women addicted to porn in this room mm-hmm. yeah. and on this live stream because they don't know how to have intimacy. Both of you, how bad do you think the porn problem is with women in the church right now?
It's gotten a lot worse over the last 10, 15 years. It used to be a male problem, pornography. But pornography now, there are a lot of women. I find that when I speak to a room of women, I assume that at least a third, half of them are struggling with pornography or have been drawn into that in some form.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think when you have movies like, you know, 50 Shades of Grey, and you have yeah. literature that
you
I think
it, Game of Thrones.
Yeah, it can make us feel like, oh, this isn't pornography because I'm not watching anything. I'm reading it.
Right, yeah.
But it still is. And, I think it's more of a
different
mutation of
that
it, yeah.
stirs the imagination. Yeah. I mean, that's just proliferated.
There was a Barna survey that said that there was not a statistical difference in the percentage of church versus unchurched women who read 50 Shades of Grey.
Wow.
Sad.
Yeah, that says a lot.
You though, talked about it, that it's a lack of intimacy that drives us to that.
Mm-hmm.
Can you unpack that intimacy thought?
So I watched porn too. I did everything. But I think there's something about watching people be intimate that makes us feel as if we have access to this intimacy, or that we are living out what we are seeing in some type of way. Because there's a satisfaction we get from it. That's why we're doing it. But I think God did not create us for that. He gave us real, living, breathing bodies. And we are to act out his sexual intimacy with our husbands, with our spouses. And that is actually the real thing. And pornography is not real, but it feels real to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's actually... there's some research that's telling us that women who are looking at porn, men who are looking at porn, though they think they're awakening their sexual desire and feeding their sexual desire, they're actually stifling it.
Mm-hmm.
They're less interested in
that's
sex.
Right. Mm-hmm. They are less interested and less able to enjoy it. They're less able to enjoy a real person, mm-hmm. real living body. Mm-hmm. And it's sad. Mm-hmm. It's sad. And especially what's going to be happening now with the virtual 3D reality, pornography is going to even become, feel like it's more real, but become even less real.
Yeah.
Yeah. And can I speak to how pornography has tainted my marriage?
Yes.
Because before I got married or before I became a Christian, I watched pornography from the age of 5 to 19. Mm. So that is years of pornography. And so when I got married, I'm thinking, oh, I could do it freely, I'm good. But one of the ways in which I know it has affected me is that I went into having sex with my husband assuming that he believed that I was like these women and that he wanted to objectify me like these women were objectified on the screen. So for so long, I've had to detach myself from projecting onto my husband what I saw these men do to these women. And so I think it's so, so harmful to our sense of self. And just seeing sex rightly.
And it's becoming more transgressive, more violent.
Yeah.
Which brings up a topic, I think, that you bravely addressed today. We could talk about a lot of things, but probably one of the most here and now topics is the issue of sexual abuse and the cultural conversation. Mary, how's your heart feeling about that topic right now?
You know, just there are many women in this room that have experienced sexual abuse in one format.
Can we define it? Can we just break it down and define it? What is sexual abuse? Because it's not just children who are sexually abused. Mm-hmm. It's not always an adult woman who's been raped. Mm-hmm. It's broader than that.
Mm. Yeah.
So what does it include?
I mean, sexual abuse can be verbal, it can be physical, it can be psychological.
Jackie, how deep are the ramifications of abuse? You are a survivor of sexual abuse. You have broken the silence for other women.
Yeah.
Does that still affect you today?
I think so. I think in many ways, I think there will be remnants of it, maybe forever. But I do see continual healing. Mm-hmm. I'm not affected by it in the same ways that I used to be. And so for that, I'm grateful. But I think it just... it's something that happens to the psyche of a person when a person in a position of power that you believe is supposed to keep you safe harms you in that way.
Yes.
It shapes how you see everything. Mm. It colors how you see everything. And so I think the ramifications are huge. But that's why I'm thankful for therapy. That's why I mentioned it earlier, because I think for too long we have just go to church, just go to church. It's like, yeah, we need church and we need counselors and we need people to help us walk through these things in healthy ways.
Yeah. And God has gifted different people in the body to serve us in those ways. And I think that some of the biggest issues with survivors of sexual abuse or victims of sexual abuse is keeping it in the dark, is not wanting to talk about it. But when it's hidden and kept in the dark, it has such power over you.
Sure.
And when you bring it out into the light, and God wants to heal you of the shame of it, because some women feel so shameful. Some women feel it was my fault or I did something that provoked this. But
those are lies.
Those are lies. Those are lies, and it's by and Satan wants to keep you in bondage through those lies, through guilt, through shame, telling you to keep it in the darkness. So if that is you, what you need to do, the first step is to bring it out into the light and tell someone.
Yeah.
You know, as I was watching my Twitter feed last night, many women right now are triggered by events happening in our country and by the women that are breaking the silence. And one of the things I saw was women saying last night, why aren't men tweeting about this? Why aren't men talking about this? And this week, Mary, we got an email from a man who cares deeply about this issue.
Yeah.
And I wanted to bring him into the conversation. So Bob Lapine, would you join us? Bob sent us an email. His heart was broken by what he was seeing from a pastor's heart, from a godly man's heart. You wrote something, and I want to know why.
Well, first of all, this conversation is such an important one, and I know that all week long, and even Jackie, as you mentioned it this morning, just the word abuse and abuser, there are some women who get a knot in their stomach when they hear the word. Mm-hmm. Because this is a scar that is so profound on the soul of any human being to be sexually abused. This is like no other kind of abuse, and to your point, it does stay with a woman for a long time.
Yeah.
And last week, I woke up on Saturday and I was going through my Twitter feed and there was a tweet from Beth Moore. And all it said was, because he lived in my house. And then the hashtag, why I didn't report. And it took me a minute to catch on to what she was saying. But I followed that hashtag and saw thousands of women who were explaining why they had never spoken about it. In fact, I wrote down some of these because this was so...
heartbreaking.
Yeah, it was a slap in the face. And
I had a dear friend who is in this room today that wrote one of those tweets.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hashtag why I didn't report.
So here's somebody who said, I thought it was my fault. I was embarrassed and ashamed of being stupid enough to trust him. Mm-hmm. Somebody else who said I was molested at 8 by a school janitor, mm-hmm. frightened into silence. Raped at 18 by 2 boys at a party. I blamed myself, felt shame. My parents never knew. I told my daughters 5 years ago when I was 60. Mm-hmm. Now, wow. You think about the years of carrying that burden inside, that scar on your soul, with no one to cry out to. Mm-hmm. And then you think, well, you can cry out to the Lord, but in the back of your mind, there's this thought, wait, he was supposed to be there when that happened. How can I cry out to him?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so women doubting God's goodness and wondering, how could this happen? If God is my rock and my deliverer and my fortress, how could this happen? How could he allow something like this to happen?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's what prompted me just to sit down and I wrote an open letter to why I didn't report.
Well, you know, it touched me. Mm-hmm. I sat in my office and cried. Because the words were so tender. So would you read at least some of it, share some of it? I think it could help some of these women be set free.
Yeah, we put this on the website at familylife.com for anybody who want to read the whole thing. But I said, I'm sure one of the experiences, anyone who's experienced abuse has been wondering about the reality of God's providential care for his children. Hmm. It's natural to have questions or doubts about God's goodness when you face this age-old question of how can a good and loving God allow evil to happen. And it's one thing to deal with that on a theological level. It's something else to deal with it personally when you're saying, how could he let this happen to me? Mm-hmm. And there are no, you can give bumper sticker answers, but those don't solve anything. I mm-hmm. thought of Job, who went through profound grief, profound sadness, and he took that to God. Mm-hmm. At the end of Job, and started asking all of the questions, why, and God let him pour it out, and then God took a deep breath, and I can't imagine the tone of God's voice, but I think it was a tender, gentle, stern, who is this that darkens my counsel by words without knowledge? Mm-hmm. At the core of this issue, I said, you have to come to grips with whether the profound abuse you experienced is more powerful, so powerful that it overrules anything you've ever read or experienced or believed is true about God. Mm-hmm. Is it stronger than God is? Is your pain so great that it invalidates the rest of anything you've ever known mm-hmm. or believed? And I don't think it's by accident that in the placement in our Bibles, Job is here and then Psalms is next. Mm-hmm. So when God never answered Job and said, here's why. He just said, I'm God. And then the Psalms give us language to take our despair and our grief and to verbalize it as praise to God. Now, that seems counterintuitive. But you read Psalm 13, oh, Lord, how long will you forget me? How long will you withhold favor from me? Mm-hmm. And God invites, that's inspired by the Spirit of God. Now, bring that to me. Mm-hmm. And there's where healing can be found. I said, as you bring your grief to God, the afflictions you've experienced will produce in you an eternal weight of glory that is beyond comparison. That's what the Bible says.
You know, I want to affirm that. Last night, as I was praying for women in this room, knowing that we would be having this conversation and that it could, you write in your book, that it could be triggery.
Yeah, it is triggering.
Are you feeling triggery today?
No. I think as I've learned how to prep myself and prepare myself for this conversation, but I think any time, especially when you don't discuss it often, that to hear abuse or to be reminded of it does something in your heart where you want to run, you want to flee, you want to cry, you want to get mad,
you want to get angry. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you bring up the Psalms. The Lord gave me this verse to pray over those women that are feeling triggered right now. Mm-hmm. Psalm 118:5, out of my great anguish. And you're feeling that anguish, that depth of that, that shame, that distress, I called on the Lord and he set me free. He wants to set you free. We are not having this conversation to trigger you. We are having this conversation directed by prayer in the Lord so that we can be a part of participating in your freedom today.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
And I just want to say, on behalf of Christian men, I am so sorry. For how any man did to you the evil that was done to you. And that was wrong. And my heart breaks that God's daughters had that kind of evil perpetrated on them, and that your soul has that scar on it. I'll read how I finish. I believe Jesus is deeply sorry for your pain as well. It's true he could have stopped it and he didn't, and I can't tell you why he didn't. No one can, but I can tell you he gave his life to fix it.
Yeah.
He died so that the wrongs of this life will be made right, so that your tears will one day be dried and your darkness will be over forever.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Amen.
Thank you, Bob. That is what I felt when I read what you wrote. And I hope that some of these women felt it in the core of their being. There are good men. There are godly men. There are safe places, and you can run to them and find your freedom.
Well, this whole conversation between Dana Gresh, Bob Lapine, Mary Cassian, and Jackie Hill Perry was deeply moving at True Woman 18. And following this conversation, there were many, many women who responded to an invitation to pray with someone else about a burden along these lines that they've been carrying in their heart. It was an incredibly tender and sensitive time, but also such a sweet time to see God using the truth to set women free, even in some cases when terrible things had been done to them. And as you've been listening to this conversation, perhaps the Lord has been stirring in your own heart. Don't move past this moment. And wherever you are, whatever you're doing, if you can, take the opportunity to stop, to express to the Lord what he's been saying to you, and perhaps to call and ask a friend to pray with you about your journey in this area of sexual abuse and healing. Well, this conversation was recorded at the True Woman 18 conference. You can hear many more messages from that conference or watch the videos. They're available at reviveourhearts.com. You can also find a link to that very moving letter that Bob Lapine read from today. It's on today's transcript at reviveourhearts.com. Now, the reason that Revive Our Hearts is able to host these kinds of events and to provide online resources and to bring you this program day after day is thanks to listeners like you who support Revive Our Hearts through prayer and through their financial gifts. If you're thankful for the practical application of God's Word that you hear on this program, would you support this ministry? When you give a gift of any amount this week, we'd like to say thank you by sending you a Bible study that our team has produced on the life of Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. You read about her in Luke chapter 1, and this is a new study that focuses on how she learned to deal with disappointment. As you walk through the 6 sessions in this study, you'll study the scripture and answer questions to help you dig in more deeply to God's Word and to apply what you're learning to your own life. So when you make a donation of any amount at reviveourhearts.com, be sure to request this study on Elizabeth. Or ask for it when you call to make your gift. The number to call is 1-800-569-5959. Again, that's 1-800-569-5959. Now, if you've ever been sinned against sexually, or if you know someone who has, you don't want to miss tomorrow's program. We'll hear about a girl who was molested repeatedly by her stepfather. And even though her mother was aware of the situation, she did nothing to protect her daughter. Find out how Paulina found healing in Jesus Christ tomorrow on Revive Our Hearts.
Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Wahlgemuth is reminding you that you are seen and loved by God. The program is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.